Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. They, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. We'll leave off reading there, and we'll pray and be seated in just a moment. I'm going to read some more of those, so keep your Bible open there. I told you the title earlier, and it's a question that I want to ask each young person and each adult in here this morning. What do we have to work with? What do we have to work with? We plowed up my dad's garden way back in the spring. Brother Jerry Smith and I and my dad. And my dad has that sandy loam, I guess it's called, and over there in Edgewood. But he had a pretty decent garden for a first garden. But if you were to come over to our house, I don't know what we have, but it's not sandy loam. It's just bad dirt. And so we planted a garden years and years ago and haven't done it since, because I hadn't found a way to grow steak and chicken fried steak and all that in the garden. So I don't eat many vegetables anyways. But it's the same principle when you sit under the preaching of the Word of God. What kind of ground does God have to work with? What kind of ground does God have to work with? Let's pray. Lord, would you bless the message today? Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you work on hearts. Help us, Lord, we pray. We'll thank you for what you'll do. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let's read on there in chapter 3. I didn't want to keep you standing forever, but the same thought continues. He just ate that roll, which is God giving him, giving Ezekiel God's word. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest in this roll, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he calls me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Now that's important, because he's saying to Ezekiel, I'm not sending you to the mission field. I'm sending you to my people. I'm sending you to your people. And he said, had I sent you to a foreign nation, that foreign nation would have listened. He said, but these are my people, and they're not willing to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. He said, verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. By the way, your problem's not with the preacher. Your problem's with God. He said, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. Here it is. For they will not hearken unto of me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. The preacher, the prophet, the man of God, Ezekiel, in our book here, Ezekiel, during his ministry, was in his 30s and his 40s. That's when God used him to preach to the people of God. So this was not a 60 and 70 and 80 year old preacher. This was a young adult or middle age preacher. This book was given during the time that Israel was in captivity in Babylon. Many of you know the story of Judah going into captivity, and God refers to them here as Israel. The first point to remember is that even while dwelling in a strange land, God expected his people to live right and to do right. God's people were in Babylon. They were in the area today that's known as Iraq and that general area there. They had been carried captive, so they were in a strange land. They said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? But even in that strange land, God said, that is no excuse for you to live like the people of that land. Now, I don't have to remind you this morning, we are living in a strange land. When a guy can't tell what a guy is, and a girl can't tell what a girl is, and you have to look at people for 30 minutes to figure out, guy, girl, what is it? Folks, we are living in a strange land. When they want to pretend that a male can get pregnant with a baby, we're living in a strange land. But that does not excuse away our responsibility as God's people to live right and to do right. Our responsibility is not to just live better than the world, but rather our responsibility as God's people is to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so I want you to know that even though we're living, we're strangers and pilgrims, we're in a strange land, you and I are supposed to be living for God. The second point I want to make here by way of introduction that I want you to remember is this, is that the preacher lived in the same land, fought the same battles, but yet God called Ezekiel to a special office of preacher and prophet in order to guide God's people. Look at it there in chapter 1 and verse number 1. Someone might say, well, who does the pastor think he is? I know who I am. A sinner saved by grace who was just called of God to be a preacher of the Word of God. Well, he's not anything special. Well, listen, I believe the office ought to be magnified. Paul said, I magnify mine office, and as long as you're attitude is like that, you're not going to get much out of the Word of God. But no, you're right in one sense. I am just a sinner saved by grace, and I go out and I put my pants on one leg at a time, and I go out into this world and I fight the same battle and the same sin and the same flesh. But the world today would have you to think, well, then no one should tell anyone else what to do. But God still has his preachers. Ezekiel 1 and verse 1, that came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives. In chapter 3, in verse number 15, Ezekiel said this, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat. I sit where you sit every day of my life. We've got to get to that place where we realize that God gives us his men to lead us, to guide us, to help us, to help our marriage, to help our family. You say, church hadn't been working for me. Friend, it's not the church. It's not the Bible. It's not God. It's not the Word of God. I don't believe it's the preaching of the Word of God. I believe it's the ground that the Word of God is falling on. I believe that our text, and this is just in my opinion, But it's one of the saddest, most discouraging passages in the Bible. By the way, this came from a heart, from a conversation I had with a preacher earlier this week. And this guy has been, he'd never been to Bible college. He hadn't been in the ministry all these years in any form or fashion. He just believed a few years ago God was calling him to preach and God is using him. But where he is, he's been in the church a long time, but they needed a pastor and the church decided to make him the pastor. He's called to preach and I believe he's a perfect fit for where he is. But we sat down and we talked for probably at least an hour the other day and he has family in the church and then of course, regular church members and he said, Jeremy, what I don't get, he's been doing it about a year now. He said, what I don't get is, he said, I don't get, man, I get up and I try to share my heart. And he said, I read and I study. And he said, I'm not the best at reading. I'm not the best at studying. I said, guess what? You're in good company because Paul said, I came not to you with excellency of speech. He said, I came to you in the power of God. And he said, I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling. And he said, man, I preach. I want to help people. He said, but we've been in our little small church. He said, we got people on their cell phones. We got people pitching babies down the pew. We got people passing candy back and forth and writing notes. And I told him, I said, man, after 22 years, guess what? Join the club. I said, how would you? And that's what I told him. It came to mind. I said, how would you like to be Ezekiel and deal with what Ezekiel dealt with? I want you to see it. God is trying to help his people by sending a preacher to preach to them. But instead of accepting the preaching and esteeming the pastor, the preacher, very highly in love for his work's sake, as the Bible says. This is sad in this passage. God has to warn the preacher that the people are going to threaten him. By the way, I'm glad my dad raised a man. I know some preachers that get their feelings hurt and they're constantly down and out and my dad raised a guy that knows how to stand up and fight. And I'm not talking about let's just get in a fight, but hey, Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight, be strong, be a man with a backbone. But God said, Ezekiel, they're going to threaten you. They're going to say things about you. They're going to give you dirty looks while you preach. And by the way, Ezekiel, I'm going to have you preach to these people, but they're not going to listen to a word that you have to say. That's sad. Look at chapter 2 there in verse number 6 again. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Why should he have to be afraid of a flock he's trying to help? Neither be afraid of their words. I still believe God said, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. You may not have any respect for the White House, but you better have some godly respect for the church house. Neither be afraid of their words. He goes on to say in verse 6, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. I told a woman this one time I was talking to her and her husband, and I was telling her basically she has a stinking rotten attitude. And I said something about, look, where's that in the Bible? I said, let's get the Bible out and open it. Your countenance matters. And God said they're going to give you dirty looks while you preach. All this stuff is sad. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 4. He said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Verse 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. Verse 9. As an adamant, a very hard stone, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. That's a shame that a preacher gets up to preach, but his preaching has no impact whatsoever. I don't know about you, Brother Trent, but if in my prayer time in the morning God said, they're not going to listen to you this week, I don't know that I'd want to get up and preach this week. if God said, you know, there are going to be people while you preach, and they're going to give you angry looks, and going to give you just apathetic looks, and just not even, it's like they're not even in the room. I got to be honest with you. I'm one that likes to accomplish. I want to produce. I want to feel like I did something. If God said ahead of time, you're going to preach your guts out. You're going to go home tired as can be. You did it last Sunday. You're going to go home tired as can be. But I tell you what, no one's going to listen. I tell you what, Ezekiel's a better preacher than I am, because he got up and did what God wanted him to do. Now, the Word of God had no effect on those people. Was it the preacher's fault? No. The preacher's preaching God's Word. The preacher's preaching truth. Look at it there again. Ezekiel 2 and verse 1. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Verse 7, thou shalt speak my words unto them. Verse 8, the last part, open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And chapter 3, verse 2, so I opened my mouth. And he calls me to eat that roll. It's God giving his word to Ezekiel. Verse 4, he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Verse 10, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go and get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. So the preacher was preaching the words of God. I know there are a lot of places today where a preacher's not preaching, thus saith the Lord. Never has a Bible open, and it's all psychological, and it's all humanistic. But friend, listen, I know in this church, from this pulpit, the preachers that preach, it is the Word of God that is opened up, and the Word of God that is preached. He said they'll not listen, because their heart is hard. The ground is hard. He said they won't listen because they're not ashamed of their sin. He said they won't listen because they're not ashamed of their backslidden ways. Look at it there in chapter 2 and verse number 3. He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent. The word impudent means shameless. They are shameless children and stiff-hearted. They're stubborn. He said, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Verse number 8, but thou, Son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Chapter 3 and verse 7, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent. They're shameless. They're hard-hearted. They don't care. Man, I couldn't imagine. Had a preacher the other day, I heard him online, and he was preaching a week or so ago, and just whining in the pulpit, and he was whining about, oh, they didn't teach us that in Bible college. Well, I wonder if he would have went to Ezekiel's Bible college. These young preachers, I don't think they need at 18 and 19 and 20 and 21, I don't know that they need to know the full truth of what all they're going to go through over the next two or three decades of their life. And the people that are with you one moment, and am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And they're with you when their kids are young. They stand against you when they don't like the rules in the youth departments. But the thing is, as preachers, we can't take it personally. God said, Ezekiel, you're going to do what I told you to do, but don't take it personally, because their problem's not with you. Their problem is a hard heart towards me. Their problem is rebellion. Their problem is stubbornness. He said that. He said, they'll not listen. But that should not stop you, preacher, from preaching. Amen. They will not listen. But what they will know is that a man of God stood up today in front of them and preached, "Thus saith the Lord," he said, "for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear," the word forbear, that means refuse to hear, he says, "for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them." I don't know about you, but at 47 years old, I still like preaching. I don't want to be entertained. If a pastor tells some jokes with his personality or whatever, wonderful, that's great. But man, I want to leave there knowing, man, we've been in revival. We've been in a conference. We've been in the house of God. Man, I'm going to tell you, I didn't like everything you had to say, but everything you had to say was true. I like Bible preaching. Now, somewhere, and I guess I could, it's too late to preface all this, but I'm not going to get into it today. I'm not going to get into some things, but if my wife stood up and testified to you, my mindset lately, I don't know what you'd do. You'd probably pray for me a lot more. There's no one in this room feels like more of a failure than me when people won't get right with God. When people, you preach and you preach, but they won't get right. Or you preach to be faithful and they won't come back to church. And you preach and you feel like, but Ezekiel, whereas if we were told in Bible college this is the way it's going to be, we'd say, well, I don't want to do that then. But yet Ezekiel could also be encouraging to preachers, saying, you know what? But God doesn't reward us for what we produce. He rewards us, well done, thou good and faithful, faithful, faithful servant. And we read Ezekiel and we say, you know what? Man, I'm glad it's not as bad as it was for Ezekiel. At least some people are listening. Somewhere around 600 years after God spake to Ezekiel, the Apostle Paul wrote pretty much the same thoughts to a preacher named Timothy, who also was about in his 40s at the time when Paul wrote these words. He said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the saved and the unsaved." We're all going to stand before God at His appearing in His kingdom. Paul says to this 40-something-year-old preacher, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Be faithful when you want to. Be faithful when you don't. Be faithful when you feel well. Be faithful when you don't. Be faithful when you're energized. Be faithful when you're empty. He says, reprove. That's just mild, getting on too tight preaching. Rebuke, that's foot stomping. Deal with sin, preaching. And exhort. We need that, the encouraging, the challenging. The problem in a lot of pulpits today, it's become all exhortation. Heard it myself not long ago. And the guy's preaching about Jesus, and he says, you know, and see how Jesus, this independent Baptist preacher, Jesus didn't say anything at all about their sins. He wasn't there to condemn, he's there to love them. He's there to love them. And I showed my wife, we were sitting in this church, and I pointed out to my wife, I said, he's skipping that verse that says, sin no more. Tired of this soft crowd that's all about, let's just all be kind, don't stand for anything, preacher. Because I got Facebook friends that used to be in this church, and you made them mad, but they're still my friend. Folks, I don't want to make people mad. I don't want to lose folks. But we cannot, if we ever get away from preaching the full counsel of the Word of God, we might as well just, my dad used to say this all the time, we might as well just hang Ichabod on the church. The glory hath departed. Just because your friends go into a church doesn't make it a church if they're not preaching, thus saith the Lord. He said, Paul, I want you to, he said, Timothy, be faithful. He said, for the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. We got a lot of that today. Having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Is that not what God told Ezekiel? They're not going to listen to the truth of the Word of God. But he says, Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, preach the gospel, make full proof of thy ministry. Do exactly what God called you to do. And can I tell you today, some 2,000 years after Paul wrote to Timothy, this situation hasn't changed. God still sends his preachers to feed his people. Through some that are hard-hearted, shameless, so-called Christians, preachers at times are threatened, they're criticized, they're lied about, they're mocked, misused, mistreated, and the list of negatives could go on and on. I don't preach this because there's trouble in our church right now. There's not that I'm aware of, but after 22 years of pastoring, I'm no dummy. I'd give a plaque to someone who left this church and actually went out and said it was their own reason, their own fault. They're going to trash the church. They're going to trash the preacher. They're going to trash the youth pastor. They're going to tell they didn't agree with that dress and they didn't agree with that and so forth. Now, I say this kindly, folks, but man, we've got to wake up. Amen. The apathy in Christianity today is alarming. Yep. Yep. Pastor, why can't we have an early afternoon service? I haven't seen one yet that works. I don't mean that unkind. I got a lot of friends who have afternoon services. I've preached at all of them. Have not seen one yet that works. People eat lunch. They take that free lunch and they go home. Or they eat lunch, they come in, half of them sleep, some of them sit out on the porch. I'm telling you, every time it's happened, it's happened. Every time I've seen it, it's happened the same way. It's hard to get them back to missions conferences, hard to get them back to revivals. I get it. I get the, well, you know, they drive so far. I get that. But we need to get away from this accommodate me. And let's sacrifice for the one who sacrificed for us. I'm not saying we can't have an earlier service, maybe a 5 o'clock instead of a 6 o'clock, but I'm afraid that we've gotten in a place today. And I don't mean this against many of my friends. I'm not questioning their motives, but in some places I feel like it's just, let's get God out of the way so we can get to our favorite restaurant or theme park. Apathy in Christianity today is alarming. The looks from the crowd are amazing. The lack of respect for the office of preacher and pastor by some is eye-opening. The absence of concern for the preaching of the Word of God is disheartening. But I want to say this. Praise God for the many that still listen. I don't believe our church would be where it is today if we didn't have many in the crowd that still listen. Folks, it crosses my mind. Many times it crosses my mind. Well, maybe I need a change. Maybe they need a change. Maybe it's been enough years. Maybe it's been enough time. But can we get to the cold, hard truth that if we're not going to get our heart right under this preacher, we'll not get our heart right under another preacher. If we won't get our heart right at this church, we'll take the same trouble to the Nielsen's church or the Anderson's church or my brother's church. Why? Because if we're rebellious, we're rebellious. If we're hard-hearted, we're hard-hearted. And God said, Ezekiel, they are not going to listen, but you're still going to preach. Amen. Too many preachers today are worried about their following on Facebook. And they're worried about their iPod, their iPads, and they're worried about their podcast, and they're worried about looking comfortable. My mother-in-law used to tell me that when I grew a beard, she'd say, you know what, you look like the common man now. And I didn't take that as wrong, but I know what she was saying. I know where she's from. She's from a place where everybody's kind of relaxed in what they do. But she was saying there, man, you look too pastoral when you don't have that beard. Well, I think there are a lot of pastors looking too regular. We're not here to win a popularity contest. Praise God. Thank God for the few that still listen. Thank God for those that still care. Thank God for those that still get it. Thank God for those that realize, Mom and Dad, it's not just about you. Your kids are at stake. And if you make a wrong move now, you may have grandkids that never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, all because you refuse to get right with God in your 30s. My job is not to fit the message to make any of us comfortable in our worldliness and our unfaithfulness to God. My job is not to make us comfortable in our sin. My job, or any other preacher's job, as Ezekiel's was, is to preach, thus saith the Lord. And we can sit in the pew, and we can look broken, and we can look humbled, or we can sit in the pew stiff-necked and hardened. Yeah. And we can hit the altar under conviction, or we can hit the pew in our anger. But your response to the message should never, and by the grace of God, will never change the message of the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 4. Gospel of Mark chapter number 4. You ever heard that saying, it is what it is? I use that a lot. I've heard Brother Greg use that a lot over time. It is what it is. Brother Trent, it is what it is. We live in 2022, and God knew we would live in 2022. This craziness, this coronavirus, all this craziness over the last 3 and 4 years has thrown everything just completely out of whack. My wife and I went to Walmart yesterday and just picked up a couple of things, a couple of meals just to get us through the weekend, coming home from vacation, and she'll get the groceries next week, and I'm telling you, it's a $100 bill. She said, you know that bag of potatoes you normally get? And she said, this is what they're selling right now, and everything's out of whack. But friend, God's not out of whack. And God's Word hasn't changed, and God doesn't change, and all of this craziness has thrown churches out of whack. And I said it then when it started, and I started watching these young men that were, they took off their suits and sat at the tables, had a little podcast, and they got cute, and because everyone had to watch online, but they've never really walked away from that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, we're so casual in the local church today that churches like ours and preachers like ours, it's like, I really believe there aren't a whole lot of them left. I don't mean that as a pat on the back. I'm telling you, it's hard. It is really hard to toe the line. It's really hard to stand where we need to stand. And like I talked to the men in Sunday school this morning, we're doing the next 2 weeks, how men can help their pastor by learning the ABCs. And I just have 26 words that if you want to be a help to your preacher, help to your pastor, here's what we need to do. Friend, listen, you know how to help is let the Word of God have an effect in your life. I tell my wife, I say, you know the reason why we do the projects? I said, you know the reason why I don't think I've sat still in 22 years? And you look around the property here, and I mean, everything's changed. Everything's different. I said, you know why? I came home Thursday. I started measuring the outside of my house because I had been off for a week. And I made a list. And I said, here's how we could do this and we could do that. And I came in and I did some measuring and some costs and some things. And I said, you know what? I said, we're going to put this off. I said, I literally just gave myself an anxiety attack trying to jump into some new project. They said, preacher, why do we have to be in all these projects? And just, I feel like I need to produce. And what's sad is I could take this pulpit. I like it being worn out. I don't want to redo it. But my dad preached from this pulpit when he was here. We've repainted it since then, restained it. But it's worn out now, where our fat bellies rub up against it. It's worn out. It's worn out over here. It's worn out here. That just tells me there's been some preaching going on. I don't want to change it. But I could take that tomorrow and I could sand it down and I could repaint it and I could restain it. And I could look at it and I can say, man, I accomplished something today. I can come to church after studying and being excited about a message and get up and preach. I can say, folks, hey, let's move up on Sunday nights, and 99% of everybody ignores me. When do those kids, where's the line where you say this kid's got to be old enough to start moving up and learn you're going to sit in church? Amen. Amen. I could sit in church and watch people looking down and think, man, are they on their phone? Are they asleep? Did they get a passage there they're reading? That's great if that's where the Lord's leading you on the passage there. I could see people up and down and up and down, kids passing notes while I'm trying to preach. You know what the devil's saying? Sit down. Shut up. It's not the world for it anymore. Be quiet. Go get you a little house in Arkansas. Get a side job. People don't want preaching anymore. Now, I know that's not the case with the majority of this church. But if thousands of years ago God had to say to Ezekiel, they're going to give you looks, they're going to say stuff after you poured your life into them, That's sad. He's telling Ezekiel, they'll shake your hand, they'll invite you over for a meal. You say one thing they don't like. You make one application they don't agree with. But you know what he said to Ezekiel, Trent? He said, preach and keep on preaching. Preach and keep on preaching. Whether they hear, whether they forbear, they'll at least know they didn't have a Joel Osteen standing up here today. He'll say, they at least know they had a preacher standing in front of them. Let me give you something quickly here and we'll go. I skipped breakfast this morning, so I'm hungry. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 talks about the ground, the seed being sown. I want to give you just three quick thoughts here. We'll be done. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Okay? Number one is this. The seed is God's responsibility. The seed is God's responsibility. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. There's a lot of teaching and preaching today that's anything but the word of God. God told Ezekiel, I'm going to give you my word, and I want you to preach, thus saith the Lord. God gave us his word in the 66 books of the Old and the New Testament. Your traditions and my traditions and our philosophy and our thinking and our viewpoints, they don't matter. The only thing that matters is what did God say? I like what Dr. Bob Smith's always said. He said, men, we have no message but his message. And that's absolute truth. The seed is God's responsibility. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of this was given by God. It's not a book. You cannot get help if you believe it's just a book of man. You got to believe that holy men of God, of old, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God gave his word. I still believe we have an every word Bible. And God gave his word, and God said, and Paul said to Timothy, he said, the word of God's good, for it's profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, it'll tell us what's wrong. For correction, how to get it right. For instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right, how to grow in the Lord. But he says, Timothy, listen, Timothy, preach the word. Preach.
Yes.
Now, if he told Timothy 2,000 years ago, the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine. Like you could point it out from Scripture and they'll say, well, that's just not the way I see it. If he told him that 2,000 years ago, where do you think we are today? The seed is God's responsibility. Secondly, the sowing is the preacher's responsibility. Now, we're not talking about soul winning right now and planting the seed of the gospel. We know that's all of our responsibility. We're talking about planting the seed, the preaching of the word of God. We're talking about preaching to God's people. The sowing is the preacher's responsibility. Mark 4 and verse 14, the sower, the preacher, soweth the word. The seed is God's responsibility. The sowing is the preacher's responsibility. My job is to sow the seed. My job is to preach the word. My job, according to 1 Peter 5, is to feed the flock of God. Acts chapter 20, as Paul was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, he told the elders at Ephesus, he says to be sure to feed the flock of God. So look there with me, if you would, in Mark chapter 4. So God's responsibility is the seed, the word of God. The pastor's responsibility is the sowing, the preaching. But what about some personal responsibility? I know, again, that's not the world we live in anymore, is it? It's the police officer's fault I got pulled over. It's not me going 75 and a 30. It's the bank's fault. It's not my fault that I've got that student loan. It's the bank's fault and someone should pay it off. It's the bank's fault that I have a mortgage because I couldn't wait on the Lord. So I have a mortgage I cannot afford. That bank should have never done that. How about some personal responsibility? God's responsibility is the seed. Pastor's responsibility is the sowing. Your responsibility is the sort of ground. The sort of ground is your responsibility. Look at it there with me quickly. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 14. The sower soweth the word. The preacher preaches the word. Now we're going to see four types of ground. I want you quickly here to think about where that word is falling today. Because we'll have to replow my dad's garden next spring. Because the ground's going to be hard again. Where the seed falls today may not be the same type of ground it falls on 1 week from now. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You've heard the old saying, the time to do business with God is when God is doing business with you. God's speaking to you today about being lost and needing salvation. I would encourage you today to walk down and be saved before Satan steals that out of your heart. There's no promise that God will ever deal with you again like he is right now. God deals with your heart during a preaching service. Hey, why don't you find your way to the altar? You say, well, I'll deal with it when I get home later. No, other things are going to get in the way and Satan's going to steal that out of your heart. The next one, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That's the crowd that comes to church. Man, we love this church, Pastor. We love. Look at the teenagers up there singing. And man, we like preaching. Oh, you use the King James Bible. We love this church. But they have no root in themselves. In other words, people will come, but they have zero clue what the Bible actually says. And they come to a church where the Word of God is taught and preached. And they have no personal growth. So endure but for a time after when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended, they're stumbled, they get out. Doesn't the Bible say, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? But yet when they have to take a stand against family, or they look different at work, or look different at play, why? Because they have no root, they haven't grown in the Lord, they're not even going to give it time. They love that church. Until they realize some of the things the church stands for. And these are they which sown among thorns. Here's where I'm afraid a lot of us are today. Such as hear the word. And what they're doing tomorrow. And who posted something while they were in church. Who might want to buy that thing they posted. Where they're going for lunch. How they're going to get the picture with the grandkid. I'm making all this up, but they hear the word of God, but they are not. They're there, but they are not there. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Do you come to church to hear from God, or do you come to church to see your friend? Do you come to church to hear from God, or do you come to church to show off your newest outfit? Do you come to church saying, God, I need you. It's a wicked world out there. It's a crazy world. I need God today. I need God all over me. Or do you come to church because you know if you weren't here, somebody would call you and check on you the next day? Because that's one of those things we're battling with in this world today. God forbid people care. I like the next one. These are they which are sown on good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it. Bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Different fruit, different growth. Aren't you glad we're not robots? But the goal is spiritual growth. Not to be stunted. Now I'm talking to the younger crowd. The teenagers. The young adults. The middle age. The older folks in here. Listen, don't get churchy. Don't get churchy. You say, what do you mean? We know what time we go. We have our little purse. We have our little Bible. We know our pew. Oh, someone's in our pew today. Oh, God forbid. Move somewhere else. Someone's in our pew. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. What do you like, the three bears and the little girl and the porridge and all the junk? What you are is a Pharisee. The Pharisees show up. This is where we park. This is where we sit. We shout hear the word of God. And we leave going, we went to church today. But what ground did we show up with? What ground? Jeremiah 23 tells us that God's word is like a fire and it's like a hammer. Sometimes we're where we ought to be and the word of God is preached and man, it lights us on fire. And man, we are fired. We are fired up. I asked Brother Caleb and Brother Trent. I said, you guys want to go to Chicago in October? I said, there's a church, big church, having a conference on discipleship. And I said, somewhere I think we could strengthen in our church. And I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Chicago. And I said, I've already been to that church. I just don't want to go. I got things to do here. And man, Brother Cuthbert, man, I'd love to go, man. Hey, man, I'd love to go. You know what the Word of God does to someone like that? It's just a fire that lights what's already there. It lights it. But sometimes the Word of God has to be a hammer. And a hammer breaks up an old stony heart. I would say to you today, it doesn't matter. Let the Word of God do whatever the Word of God needs to do in your life. Does Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3 describe you? Rebellious, hard-hearted, no shame over your sin? Or do you bring good ground to church? Why don't you ask the Lord, help me to hear from heaven again. God, help me to get to a place where I come to church and I don't come just to mark it off my list. There's some of you here, you come on Sunday morning at 11. We never see you again until the next Sunday at 11. And I realize some are out of town, some work. I get that. But like I told the men in Sunday school this morning, you know where you are, where you could be. So if you're truly out of town, or you truly have to get up early and you're gone, or you don't make it back, you know. We just need to get serious. I know. I deal with this every day of my life in my mind. This is what I deal with. It's in myself. This is not the world for it anymore. The Bob Smiths of the world. The Carl Loggies of the world. I'm telling you right now, in the last 10 years, I don't know if those type of guys, I don't know what they would do in ministry, Brother Anderson. This world's gone nuts. And what people are looking for is a pastor to just kind of massage their shoulders and say, you're okay. You're okay. Just keep giving your offerings. You're okay. Just keep talking good about me and like my post this week. You're okay. Go on out of here. And those preachers get up and preach, thus saith the Lord. I like that kind. I still like. That's the kind that helps me. That's the kind that gets my attention. By the grace of God, however many years I have, or days or hours, that's what I want to just keep preaching. Thus saith the Lord. How's your heart today?